Hello and welcome to Deb and Friends Quest for Connection podcast. I am the anchor host, Deb Bowen, and I am so delighted and honored that you are joining us for yet another adventure as we explore a whole new topic and a whole new realm and way of being today. My co-host this week are my lovely friend Dale Ruttman, who is a psychic medium, a past life regressionist, on and on and on go Dale's credentials, and my lovely friend Joel Hawkins, who is a crystallologist. And I am so happy to have you both with me. Hello, guys.
Hi, Deb.
Hi there.
Hi, Dale.
Oh, yay. Thank you both. Folks, our topic today, this is actually going to be the first of a two-part discussion on star beings. So Dale and Joel are going to lead us off this week in that discussion, and then next week we'll have Sherry Purbeck and Roger Lockshear following up with their perspective on this topic. So the topic today is star beings. What are they? Who are they? How in the world do we define that term, Dale?
Right. Well, that term or that word is thrown around and people get so confused. And you're like, tell me what's different from star beings to star seeds to what is going on. So a star being is someone who believe that they have originated and they have come from another planet from ours. They were not born here. They were born on another planet, somewhere in the multitude of galaxies that we have. And they come here, and most of the time they come here to help us. So a starseed is one that is a hybrid who was born here, who took a life here, chose to take a life here. And so that is the difference between the two. So that helps to differentiate a star being from a star seed.
Oh, okay. Joel, you want to weigh in here at this moment?
Yeah. So, Dale, are star beings and star beings? Well, let me start by this. So, star seeds and I also read star persons. Are they often used interchangeably?
Star beings and star persons are used interchangeably. Yes, they are.
Okay.
So you can definitely do that.
And the star seeds are more, this is just me reading, so and I don't know if this is applicable in your personal and professional experience, because I realize it can differ for different people. But, for example, a star seed might be like an indigo child?
It could most definitely be an indigo child, yes.
Okay. And a star being would be more like a Pleiadian, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I was just trying to compartmentalize that in my mind from whatever in the past.
Mm-hmm. Right.
One thing that I was curious, if you, and you can, certainly as you get into this a little more, it may make sense, but does it, when you've been contacted by a star being, does it necessarily mean that you're a star seed and that you shared a similar origin?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't? Okay.
No, a star being, if you're contacted by a star being, that is something you have agreed to do with your contract when you wrote your contract before you came in.
Uh-huh.
And you have agreed that you and that particular star being or beings have entered into a contract. And so typically people who do that usually help star beings by taking a life, and part of their life would be, say, they might offer them information. Maybe they might be a geologist. And you would be one of those people that would offer a star being information, say, on the Earth. And you would give them the information telepathically. So it is in your contract that you agreed to do that.
That's interesting. Is it always a scenario where a star being would first contact you, or do we have the ability at random to reach out or attempt to reach out to star beings?
Well, if you put it in your soul contract, then the deal has been made.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It just happens.
Got you.
Now the trick is what happens. What I have found with hypnosis is this. You know, we come here and we have amnesia and we forget what our contract is. And so the people that I have seen, they forget that they told a star being that they would do things for them. And when they see them, they get hysterical. The ones that I have worked with that claim to have been abducted, they get hysterical. And they forget that they made a contract with them. And so if you put them, if you have them under hypnosis, then what you can do if you take them down deep enough, they will recall that they agreed to do this. And when you play it back for them, or sometimes people, they don't even have to hear it, but they recall it, they realize it's not scary for them. And many of them recognize the star being that they actually made that contract with. And then the fear goes away.
Wow.
So I found that to be very interesting.
Now, in these cases that you're citing right now, for instance, when they're under hypnosis, is this communication or experience that they had with star beings, has that already occurred or potentially yet to occur?
Well, if it's an ongoing thing, say if you take an example of someone who's a geologist and they work in the earth, say, when they work in the earth and typically they've already given information, then their life's work would be, say, as a geologist. And so the information would be ongoing throughout their life. So they would remember that under hypnosis, and it wouldn't be so scary. So they would be most of the time willing to continue with it because this is a planet of free will. If you don't want to work with them anymore and you decide, hey, look, you know, this is all just too overwhelming, you can break that contract and ask them to just go away. And I haven't met anyone who did that, that they didn't honor that and they went away. So you have the option to do that. But most people realize that, this entity is a familiar entity to me, and I understand why I'm a geologist. And I understand now why this is happening. And so I do want to continue because it is an in-service thing that they're doing. So they usually continue to do it, and then they get more ambitious about it. So
okay,
it turns
wait.
Out to be good.
I got to stop you. Okay, I just got to stop you and play kind of the skeptic and the devil's advocate here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because I, you know, and let me just make it clear, personally, I don't doubt you at all, but I just am thinking, okay, if I'm listening to this show, to this episode about star beings, and I'm thinking, this stuff is whacked. Nobody really communicates with, connects with in any way beings from other planets or galaxies or wherever, and how do you know you have? And what do you mean I've agreed to work with a star being by being a geologist? Whoa, what does all that mean?
Right. well, you know, it's pretty far out there. And the people that I have...
And I know you know that because you live it. So, and I know you're going to tell us about that. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, the people that come to me that are very confused about you know, they come to me usually because they have missing time or they have something on their mind they can't get off their mind, or they've seen a star being and they're very frightened. And so they don't want what's going on. They think they're crazy. And it's an embarrassment to them, and they don't want to tell anyone. And so, and some of them are very religious, and very, this can't be in their religious thinking. And so it's not something that they come and brag about, or they're so confused with it. So when I put them under, as far as hypnosis is concerned, and they start telling me these stories, I tend to believe them because they are not proud of it, and they're as puzzled as anybody else could be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we all, this, you know, we're all part of the One. We're all part of this vast connection, you know, that all of us are working on now. So I believe we have to keep an open mind and know that if we have signed up from a soul level to make this multiverse better, to exchange information, then what could be wrong with that? If they were asking them to do, say, you know, let's kill everybody whose names start with A, then I would have a real problem with that. But if you are willing to, collect information, whatever information you collect on the earth, in the earth, throughout your lifetime, may we extract that information and use it for the greater good? And you say yes at a soul level, and that's happening, then for me personally, I can open my mind to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also, if you say you don't want to do it anymore and they honor that, I can open my mind to that. But we're all connected all over the galaxy. You know, we have to take our ego out of this, because when you just look at the Milky Way and you look at our galaxy that we're in and it's swirling around the sun, and you know that's just one sun, and then we've moved into the, now we can receive from the central sun, and that's another sun. And you see where we are, a speck maybe in the galaxy? That's us. That's you and me. And to think that, you know, we can't be connected. We are all connected all to that.
So, and I've always believed that, too. Yeah, I do.
And let me tell you, it took me years to get my mind around this. Because I'm sitting there saying, yep, you are crazy.
I remember as a child thinking, how in the world could I believe in a supreme being with all that vastness beyond what we can even comprehend, and we're it? Oh, come now, really? You know, I always would entertain that idea. I would. Go ahead.
I was just agreeing with you. It's absolutely. I think a lot of us have that same thought.
But you think about it. Let's think about this. You know, ancient cultures always believed in star beings. You've got, you know, Egypt. If you go look at the hieroglyphics, there's one right now say, Seth, for example. If you go and look at where he's buried, and you can see a whole string of hieroglyphics that have, one has an airplane, one has a helicopter, one has a spaceship. And then the Egyptians with the elongated head, those look a lot like some of the star beings that people have described. So back then, star beings were obviously here helping them through their spiritual development. If you go to the Native Americans, they always talk about the beings that came from the stars and helped them learn how to plant and garden and keep them alive. And they would come back, you know, periodically. And the Hopi, they're still looking for the Kachina to come back because they think they know that we're moving into the fifth dimension, and they're looking for the Kachina to come back and help them move into that. So, in every culture, just about, the ancient ones are looking for a star being. So
In the Lakota tradition, there is something called star knowledge. And I have friends who wrote a book about the Lakota creation story about people coming, the earth being peopled by beings who came from the Pleiades to earth down a spiral staircase, and their drawings of that look just like how we just conceptualize DNA to look today.
I know, the helix, right?
Right, exactly, that double helix, right.
Right.
Exactly.
And the Bible, when you go back to the first or the Old Testament, they talk about, the book of Ezekiel talks about how there was, it looks like when they were describing a spacecraft, because they said it was rings full of eyes. And then the living creatures went, and that's how they came and went. And, the wheels were lifted up from the earth, and then it was gone. And that's in the New Testament. So even in the Bible, you can find descriptions that sound just like they saw star beings.
Right. Yeah, Ezekiel in the Old Testament, you mean?
In the New Testament, Ezekiel, and then also Thessalonians also refers to, something similar.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, so, you're reminding me of that book that, and bless his heart, the poor man who wrote it just got slammed for some financial problems that he had, but the man who wrote Chariots of the Gods.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And so much of what he reported in his work is similar to what you're describing.
Right.
So, okay, so, all right, so if back in, thousands of years ago, the star beings came and helped the Egyptians to build the pyramids, for example, or whatever work that they did around the planet. Well, why are they here helping us today? And how? And
absolutely.
If so, how do we know?
Well, for one thing, if you look at the last, say, 10 years or maybe 15 years, if you'll see how fast technology has moved in the last 15 years, for one thing, that's one of the things they're working with. And what they do is they kind of seed the information, and they'll give a lot of people the same information. They call it like they're putting a seed in the person's ear. And not everybody does something with that information, but a lot of people do. And so the ones that do something with the information, that's where technology comes from. They'll have an idea. And they'll be like, oh, I have an idea. Or they'll come to their dream time. And somebody will wake up and go, you might believe this, but I had a dream last night that if I did this and this and this to a cell phone, it could do this and this. You know, they think they thought it up in their dream time, but that's one of the ways they reach people. And so Hollywood especially, they're easy because, everybody loves movies. And so if we see it in a movie, we're more apt to believe it than if somebody just stood up on a podium and say, hey, look at this. So our technology has totally increased, I don't know how many percent, but in the last 15 years.
It's funny that when you said that, my initial thought was, what do we do with that technology? Because I often think that we do misuse it. Even though it's increased, where it is misused, I think it just boils back down to us being humans. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately, you know, they've helped us so many thousands of years, and we get to a point where we're almost there. And, you know, they're thinking, well, I can turn them loose now. And then we just screw it up, you know. And so, not everything they've given us, but a lot of what they've given us, we've used for war. You know, I mean, you look at the stealth bomber, you look at some of the things we've used against other people, and those things didn't mean for those things to be used against people. They were supposed to be used for people, to help people. But we just have to take it and use it for the negative, you know? So,
Another example.
We have to change that. As we connect, Deb, which is, I think, so important that you're doing this show, and I know the audience feels the same way. I mean, I could just feel it. And we have to connect strongly and keep our thoughts on the positive and on each other and looking after each other and lifting each other up, because that's how we're going to, you know, we're going to be powerful, and that's how we're going to move it up and move it up and ascend, by doing this, by staying connected in a positive way.
I agree with you, Dale, and I hear you. And I'm thinking back about what you're saying about so much of the technology and the information that has been downloaded basically to human beings from star beings, and it's been used in such horrible ways and not the way that they had intended. Why don't they just throw up their hands and go, I give up, these people down here on Earth are nuts, and we're just not helping them anymore because they're so mean? Why do they keep doing it?
Because they can't ascend any higher if they let us go.
Oh.
That's like saying, I've got a big family, I got a brother, you know, and he can't help himself, so I'm just going to cut him out. And what does that do to me? That says, okay, I've just closed my heart to that brother, and I just let him die. And if I do that, I can't ascend upward. Because guess what? We're all connected.
So these folks, and I can't, for lack of a better term, from other dimensions or galaxies or planets are also on this evolutionary path just as we are.
Yes.
A spiritual evolution.
Big time.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes. Right. So that's, you know, that's the whole thing. You know, we are in service to each other, and we're in service to a higher power. And that's what it boils down to. And that's how, when we learn that, when we get that message, and when we say we're connected, we have to mean we're connected, not just say it. You know, it's like, if you tell me, look, you know, I broke my leg, I can't even get up off the couch, when I say, oh, I want to, you know, I'm connected to you, so, you know, I'm going to look after you. I need to drive down there and look after you. You know, I need to drive where you are and look after you, because we're connected, you know. So we have to mean it. And that's how we all ascend. Not one is better than the other. All in the multiverse.
I like that.
Yes.
The multiverse.
And so these people that live their lives through just pure ego, you know, you have to look at them and go, who the hell do they think they are? You know? No, I do anyway. Maybe you don't, or Joel, maybe you don't. because we have to connect and we have to move it up. But star beings are on an ascension path as well, yes. And they will continue to help us. And maybe they'll continue to help us when we just blow ourselves up, but they will continue as long as they can continue. As long as they can go, and they will go and go and go. And
so
that's why we don't need to really be afraid, you know.
I'm processing so much of what you're saying. I know it feels like I'm lagging behind here, and I probably am because what you're saying is just I'm having to really process it. So are star beings that are connected with us, or these folks, are they spiritually, evolutionally along the path further along than we are? I know I didn't say that well, but does that make sense?
Not all of them. No, not all of them. Some of them are struggling just like we are. Some of them can be a little negative just like we do. And, you know, we are one of the last planets to that we have this much negativity and this much, like, you know, we're our vibration's so low, you know, this is kind of a really heavy planet. But, yeah, there are many of them that do struggle, and there are many of them that do, you know, they're trying. So they have that struggle as well, but they're not struggling. You know, sometimes I say we're struggling, but some people don't know they're struggling. And mm-hmm. The idea is we keep our frequency up, because people that have low frequency here on this planet really are they're creating a lot of chaos for themselves right now. And so they're very uncomfortable, very.
But
you know,
collectively, as they, just the individuals with the low vibrations, as that becomes a collective body, it would stand to reason that that would create not only chaos for themselves, but for everyone because of our connectedness, right?
Right. It does affect it. Right. But you know who else is really affected is, you know, when I started doing past life regressions, and people would come in and there would be something wrong with them, like they may have a physical problem or they may have something going on where they, like, they would have depression. They would want to kill themselves. They would want to commit suicide. They would come in and we would start talking and I would regress them. And they would go back in the life before this one. They would call up, say, a life before this one, although it's all happening at the same time. And they were on another planet. And this would be their first life on this planet. And what was happening was they felt so lonely. And you all probably either worked with somebody like this, or maybe someone like this is your friend, or someone you've come across in your life that has been one of these people that had a past life that they lived on another planet. And these people have certain characteristics that you can look at, and you can sort of discern who they are, but they struggle. They really struggle.
What are those characteristics, Dale?
Well, the characteristics usually are, it's different based on where they came from, but some of them are very thin, you know, long fingers, you know, their hands are very thin, long fingers. Some of them they don't fit in. You know, they're the type of people that they don't understand drama. They'll back away from it. a lot of them just like to go up in the mountains and live a very quiet life. They suffer terribly with depression, and they just have this longing for home and feeling like this world is not their home. They like to, a lot of them are, will be pilots or people that fly airplanes because they don't like to put their feet on the ground. Flight attendants sometimes will be one of those people. And they have, a lot of times they'll have, their eyes will be wide apart, if you'll notice. They also physically have problems in that they have a lot of allergies and digestive problems. And the best thing for one of those people to do is just be on a liquid, just stay on a liquid diet, because our food is really, really hard for them to digest. And so it's just really, really easy for them to just stay on a liquid diet, basically. But they they turn out to be scientists or geologists or something of that nature. You won't see them, you know, being a salesperson or anything like that. But they'll do something quietly, and they'll be highly intelligent. So they do struggle with being, they feel like they're different. They just feel like they're different, and they don't fit it. And I wonder, this is just Dale, I wonder if Asperger's, if that is not a form of having had a life on another planet and then coming here. Because I don't believe that those who have Asperger's, this is their primary dimension. I believe that their primary dimension is somewhere else, because they're highly intelligent, but they just don't worry themselves about being a social butterfly. But they can get some things done in the realm of the whole universe, multiverse. So I have a very high regard for those people.
Interesting.
But those are some things that I think we all know someone like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, obviously, some people will always struggle, right? They'll never understand that they potentially had an experience or a lifetime as a star being, and they'll just struggle with those side effects or issues resulting from, if you will. In your experience with the people that you've worked with, have you ever had anyone that was just, they just reconciled with it and it was okay? Much like dealing with a past life in this physical realm, they were just okay with it and moved on?
Well, and after you answer that question, yeah. Dale, we're going to take a break.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, I mean, I've had a couple, but some of them aren't too happy about that.
I can imagine.
So, yeah.
Wow, and I would think it would be really cool to have lived on another planet. As you were describing
the process.
Probably so, but I'm sitting here thinking, I don't fit any of those characteristics you just named, so I guess not. But
I was thinking, I was checking my fingers.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm going, no.
Looking at
I don't
my
think
eyes,
so.
How wide are they?
Yeah. Dale, hold on to that thought for just a minute, if
okay.
you would. And then,
okay.
and also when we come back from the break, I know that you have your own story and information from your own guide, and if we could talk about that when we get back. So we'll do that in just a minute. Let me tell folks what in the world they're listening to. Folks, this is Deb and Friends Quest for Connection podcast, and I'm Deb Bowen, the anchor host for this lovely event that's evolving into just fascinating conversations among me and seven of my wonderful friends who are all amazing spiritual and psychic practitioners, and we come from varying world beliefs and viewpoints, and we seek connection as we talk about a myriad of topics. So we're so happy that you are with us. You can listen to this podcast in several ways, whichever way you're listening to it now, obviously maybe on Blog Talk Radio or on iTunes or on YouTube. You can also connect with us on our Facebook page. You can connect with us in our email account, which is debbowenandfriends@gmail.com, and on my website, debbowen.com, where you can find a page that gives you contact information for each of the participants in this podcast individually if you'd like to communicate with them. And let's just focus for a minute here on Dale and her work, and Joel and his work, and then I'll tell you about some things that I've got coming up as well. So, Dale, if you'd like to tell folks a little bit about you and what services you might be having coming available at some point in the future.
Okay. Well, first let me say, if we're not down to one listener by now, I would like, if you have had an encounter or something similar to that, I would love to hear from you via email. And my email address is hewuti1@gmail.com. And I do readings, and I have some openings still left for April, and May is open. And I do teach classes in intuitive development. So contact me. My number also is 919-819-9901. We'd love to hear from you.
Great. And if you didn't get all of what Dale has just said about her email address and her phone number, I will be putting that on our Facebook page for everybody this week. So thanks for that. Joel?
Hi. Yes, you can absolutely reach me if you choose to. Any questions or comments or thoughts, you can reach me at thebewitchingearth@gmail.com, and I'd love to hear from you.
Thebewitchingearth@gmail.com. That's Joel, a crystallologist. And I am Deb Bowen, as I've mentioned, and I've got a couple of things coming up in April. I have some folks who have asked me to teach my Intro to Tarot course again. I have been working with Tarot for almost 40 years now, and I have been doing readings and teaching courses for a very long time. So I teach a three-part Introduction to Tarot course that will be up in April, and the information on that will be on my website. Probably by the time you're listening to this. And then on April 24th is the day that I have set aside to offer in-depth intuitive readings on that day. They're 30 minutes apiece, and so there'll be information on my website about that as well. So, gosh, Dale, let's go back to the question that Joel asked you, and then tell us about your own personal work with your star beings.
Oh, okay. I didn't really want to do this part, but Joel said I had to.
I just found it incredibly interesting.
Okay. Because you don't ever think your own story is that interesting. So. Okay.
Your story is interesting, Dale. Trust us.
Oh, okay. Okay. Several years ago, a friend of mine got a reading for me from a person. His name is Kahu Fred Sterling, and he channels an entity called I can't think of his name right now. Can you believe that or not? Curio. And so she got a reading, and I had the reading, and in the reading, Curio came through and said, "You are going to be meeting a new spirit guide, and you're going to be doing something different." And I said, "Oh, okay." And he said, "Within the next year." And I said, "Okay." So we had just moved to Virginia, and one day it snowed, so everybody's kind of at home, and then the roads cleared up. So I'm sitting there in my family room. I look up in the corner, and there's this big, tall, holographic, it looks, the colors of bubbles. I can't, were so many colors just swirling around. It looks like the colors inside of a bubble, just standing there. And everywhere I went, I would look up in the corner, and the entity would just be there. And I'm thinking, what in the world? Now, my husband was home, and he couldn't see anything. And so I thought, well, this must be what Curiel was talking about. So I'm sitting there, and my husband's outside doing snow things, and I said to him, are you the one that Curiel was talking about? And I heard yes. And then I said, what is your name? And he told me. And so I sat there and sat there and sat there, and I closed my eyes, and his energy was so strong. It was just so strong. So my husband comes in and says, hey, now's a good time to go down to DMV, and let's get our licenses while we're here. And I was like, no, today? And he said, yeah, I bet everybody's cleared out, and there won't be a line. So I'm like, okay. We go down there. Now, I could hear and understand my husband very clearly. We go down to DMV, and everybody that talked at DMV, I could not understand a word they said. It sounded like they were all saying their words backwards. And I freaked out. I thought I had had a stroke or something. And I thought, well, if I've had a stroke, why can't I hear and understand my husband? But I can't understand anyone else. And then I thought, oh, it must be my new guide. So the lady would, and you know how friendly, you know, those ladies can be from time to time. She would ask me something, and I would look at my husband, and he would say, go ahead. And I said, what'd she say? And so he would tell me. So finally, I think she just gave me my license just to get me out of there. So anyway, we got in the car, and my husband said, what is going on with you? And I told him, and he said, well, I don't know what to tell you. You know, I don't know what to say. So we go home, and I was so afraid. But I told him, I said, I can't do this. Because if your energy is going to be this strong, I can't live my life like this, you know. So you're going to have to just, I need to push you back for a while so I can get not afraid anymore. So I would keep seeing him, but I would keep saying, you know, just push back a little bit, push back. And I went probably for about 8 months. And then finally one day I said, okay, I'm going to try this again. And I was really scared. But you please work with me. You have to work with me. So after that, he would work with me, but his energy didn't confuse me like that. So he did pull the energy back. But he told me, he said, I don't want you to read any other person's channel, no other person's information for a year. And I'm going to give you all of this information. And I want you to write it all down. And when you finish, I'll let you know when you're finished. And I want you to apply it to everybody that you can. And I'll let you know about that. So honestly, I would be cleaning the house, and then all this information would pour through. And I would have to throw down the mop, the broom, everything, and run and get a piece of paper and write it all down. So it wasn't like I was just meditating one night and it was quiet and it all rushed through. It was like at the most inopportune times. But when we finished, I had 4 notebooks full of information. So that could be another show. But anyway, so he showed up and told me that he was from the ninth light. Now, I'm not sure where that is, but he's never incarnated. But he is here to be in service to mankind, to help us ascend, because that's really important right now. The whole universe is watching us and helping us trying to ascend so that we can accelerate our spirit's growth. And Deb, I know that you're working on something similar to help people grow their spirits as well. So there are many, many of them in different forms from different places, that they find it so important right now that we do this kind of work. So, I mean, and I had to agree with him that I would do this type of work. So they don't take it lightly. And as you know as well, Deb, they don't take it lightly. And they'll just keep bugging you until you make a move somehow. So
that's
just
true.
Yes, and this is where I sort of got started. And he certainly worked with me, and I did what he said. And so I run just about everything past him before I say anything. He's not my highest guide, but he's one that I use most often right now for information about humanity. So that's kind of my story, but I guess the point to all that is that if you are so called on, then you can ask them to work with you and help you, and you can kind of get it on your terms if you ask them. So don't be afraid. Just don't be afraid.
I think that makes perfect sense, because it goes right back to the boundary setting that is always encouraged. Right?
Yes.
Set your boundaries to be comfortable and then ease them up as you are. So that makes perfect sense.
Right. And, you know, even people who deal with the paranormal and they get afraid, I think we talked about that in another show, though, you know, you can say, I'm the one that sets these boundaries, and if you want to work with me, then I have to have it this way, because I'm the one on this earth that I have to fight gravity and negativity and low frequency and all this. So you've got to work with me in order for me to, you know, to help mankind, to be in service. So this house it's got to be like this. Yeah. And I've never had any pushback or anything like that. So I think that's important for people to know that it's okay that we do that.
They'll wait. They will wait for you. What Dale's referring to here with the work that I'm doing is this channeling this information from a being who calls herself Mary Magdalene, which is given me a way to feel safe, I think, with the information that I'm getting. It's always positive. It's always uplifting. But I so remember Dale, and we'll do this story another time. I won't take up all of your time with your work with this, but I remember the first time I got this information coming at me, and it was at lightning speed in a meditation, and I came out of the meditation and I called Joel and I said, I've lost my freaking mind.
You do think that at first, let me tell you.
Do you remember me calling you and saying that to you, Joel?
I absolutely do. I do.
And sweet, wonderful, my friend from 40-some years, Joel, said, well, now, honey, let's look at it this way.
Yeah.
You need a particular rock to be working with.
Exactly.
Oh, that's what friendship is, folks, let me tell you. But but I do know what you mean, Dale, in that you do have the right to set those boundaries and those parameters. And I remember when I backed away from the information that I was getting it, because I called you too, remember, where you and I talked about this.
Yeah.
And I said, I this is just nuts. I got to quit. And so I walked away from it for several weeks. And then when I went back into meditation and said, okay, I'm willing to listen to some things you got to say here, but I got some questions. And she, for lack of a better word, very patiently and very kindly answered my questions and said, you know, I'm waiting. We'll be waiting. We'll be ready whenever you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it has gone now for 2 years.
Right. Because we have to remember, too, we are not the only people that they give information to, and that's why a lot of information that comes out is similar information, because, you know, sometimes people will say, well, you know, you just tell me something. I just read that on the Internet. Well, maybe they did, but they don't just give the information to one person. Mm-mm. You know, they give the information to many people, because some people that get information just don't share it because they are too afraid. So we have to understand that they use more than one tool. So as long as the information that I receive is not going to hurt anyone, that's kind of my gauge. It's not going to hurt anyone. It's not going to be to someone's detriment. And it's not from ego. Then I'm pretty sure that that information is legitimate. And that's kind of my, you know, my test, my litmus paper, my the way I do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I'll run it past my highest guide and say, okay, I just heard this. Is this okay? And I'll get a yes or a no. So, but yes, they're very active, and they love to work with you. So just remember that there's much work to be done, and just stay in your integrity. And I think that's really important.
Dale, can I ask you, in that year that you suspended your other work, where you weren't listening to anyone else, so you weren't, I guess, I presume that you weren't doing any mediumship or psychic readings, right? You were just completely dedicated to taking information from him?
That's correct, yes.
When you resumed, or have you fully resumed? So in addition, I know, like earlier, you had mentioned to the listeners, if they had a similar experience or had have anything that they felt was a counter, to please contact you. Are you doing both your mediumship and your other psychic work in addition to this now?
Yes.
Have you
yes.
resumed that?
I have, yes. Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed, after resuming, so after that year period where you had dedicated yourself just to receiving that information, basically not getting any distraction, if you will, from other type of work, now that you had gotten that information and began applying it, was there any difference in the mediumship work and the psychic reading work that you were doing?
Well, not really. Not really. I mean, it was tweaked up a little higher.
Uh-huh.
But it was about the same. But
okay,
just,
I was just wondering if maybe you...
was just a little higher.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm probably not wording it the best because I'm thinking on the fly because this is just such an interesting topic. Have you noticed an increase of persons who have more interdimensional communications now coming to you beyond just the clientele that you had before?
Well,
almost like they're being directed in a way. Would that make sense?
Yes. I mean, I've had people come to me that don't seem to be as afraid. And here's the thing. They send you the people that they want you to work with.
That's okay.
So,
that's perfect. Thank
yeah.
you.
So, see, I don't know. I only know the people that come to me, that they send to me. So the people so far that I've had to work with seem to be elevated to a little bit higher frequency. So they don't seem to be as afraid. They don't seem to be as, you know, back in the olden days, they seem to be just like, terrified.
Right.
And now they don't seem to be in that state. They seem to be more open-minded. And they might say, could it be this? Could it be that? I'm not sure. You know, and maybe we do some hypnosis and just confirm what they think.
Interesting. Joel, I have a question for you.
Yes.
We have about 5 minutes here. And so I know that you and Dale and I have talked about trying to find some kind of an analogy here on the planet Earth that will help us to conceptualize some of what we've been talking about, star beings. You want to tell us about that?
Sure. Everybody, this is just kind of one of those serendipitous human interest moments. But earlier this week, I was just perusing some human interest articles, you know, to kind of feel good about the world and the way things are going sometimes. And I found this wonderful little article about this woman who had rescued an octopus. She and her family were visiting the Red Sea, the Samba Bay at the Red Sea, and her name was Helena, I believe, and this was in 2014. And walking along the beach, they found an octopus that was stranded on the sand and was quickly in the process of dehydration. And they carried it back to the ocean and set it in and watched it kind of reorient itself and then start moving it. But they said it took a little while and they were really worried. The interesting thing was the next day they went back to the same area because they were staying there as vacationers and they're just walking up and down the beach on a daily basis as we do. As they were walking, they kept noticing, they could see a shadow out in the water, and it kept coming closer and closer. They weren't quite sure what it was. Interestingly enough, as it eventually got close enough into the shallows where they could see it and the sun lit it up, it was the same octopus that they had rescued the day before. And this octopus trailed them in the water and just kind of followed them on their walk for approximately a full hour. And as they kind of got into the tide with it and, you know, just like ankle-deep water, it would try to reach out and just touch them. And I thought that was such an amazing story because they felt that the octopus was saying thank you for having rescued them. And I thought, I have to find out a little bit more about this story. So I quickly Googled it and not only found that story in a little greater detail, but yet another story of a gentleman who was on a beach and found one and had a very similar experience. He scooped it up in a cup, took it to a tidal pool, set it free. And both of these have videos out on YouTube that I've shared with Deb that she's going to post. But you can watch this amazing creature sit there, completely reorient itself. And it takes a few minutes for it to completely inflate and start moving around and feeling comfortable again because it was in such shock. But after a few minutes, it very slowly moves across the floor of this tidal pool and reaches out to the man and rests one of its arms on the man's surf booty. And just lays it there for just a few seconds, and then it slowly moves away, and it doesn't take off as if it has any fear. But I noticed the entire time the arm was on the booty, it was making eye contact with the man. And you could see the man's cell phone taking the video at the same time, so you could see where the octopus was looking. It was just a great story. So I would invite folks to go out and look at those. You know, when you think about octopuses, interestingly enough, they're often considered aliens of the deep, and yet they have this amazing intelligence, and there's some phenomenal stories about things that they can do and the way that they interact with people. It's mind-blowing. So there's some great stories out there, and I would encourage everyone to read those and just kind of enlighten yourself a little bit.
I just love that. And, you know, Joel and I grew up on houses on the ocean, and neither one of us knew some of the information that he has researched this past week about octopuses. It's not octopi, I've learned. Thank you, Joel. So just to think about how we view beings here on this planet as being alien to us, like the aliens of the deep, and yet there they are. They're right here among us. And I think that's a big part of what Dale has shared with us, is that it's really a lovely multiverse, and that we can really entertain the notion of being connected in ways far beyond any way that we may have previously considered. Is that a fair assessment of what we've been talking about, Dale?
Yes. And, you know, people used to say, well, you know, I'm so afraid they're going to come take over the planet. Well, they're on the planet. So if they want to take it over, they could have taken it over. So we're working with them, you know, that on a daily basis. We're shopping with them. We're doing all kinds of things with them. And the hybrids, I mean, they're there too. So stop worrying about if they're going to take over the planet. They're here. They're sitting beside you in a cubicle. So if
here
they
you
want
go.
To take over, they want to take over. You would have been taken over by now.
Okay, we're at the end of our time together, folks. There will be more on this topic. You'll hear a different take on the subject of star beings next week from Roger Lockshear and Sherry Purbeck, and that's going to be exciting. As we hope you are getting, if you're listening to our shows kind of in the order in which we're presenting them to you, we'll keep peeling away layers of topics and delving deeper and deeper into just a multitude of topics. And every time we talk, I make notes while we're working in, to record the show about other things that are ideas that are emerging as we're going. So I don't think we're going to run out of ideas, but we're always happy to hear from you. And you can connect with us on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, YouTube, my website, debbowen.com, Facebook. We're all over the place, and soon to be on Instagram, I think. So thank you all so very, very much for being with us. Dale and Joel, thank you for being with me today.
Oh, thank you, and thank you both for this opportunity to learn. This was a great experience.
It was for me, too.
I want to thank the listeners for hanging in with me. It was us.
And I thank you, too, Dale Dearheart. And so, folks, just have a great week. Keep connecting, and we will be back with you next week. Take care. Y'all hang up. I don't know what happened.